Welcome to Let's Talk Poverty, the podcast that helps you understand poverty in Calgary through the lens of Enough for All. It tackles the stigma surrounding poverty, challenging biases and assumptions. From the voices of lived experience to community members to highlighting raw data, we speak with subject matter and policy experts, community leaders, and you to explore the root causes of poverty in our city and how we can come together to make changes that matter. Let's Talk Poverty is recorded in Treaty 7, the lands of the Blackfoot Nations, the Siksika, the Piikani, and the Kainai. We also acknowledge the Tsuut'ina and Stoney Nakoda First Nations and the Métis Nation Region 3. I'm Jacqueline Silbernagel, and I'm joined by Celestina Akinkunmi with the Calgary Immigrant Women's Association. We're going to chat about how CIWA is a diverse settlement agency, how meaningful partnerships help CIWA respond to the unique and individual needs of immigrant women and girls and their families, and how they support people as they navigate and adjust to life in Canada. Celestina, welcome to Let's Talk Poverty.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm so glad that you're able to join me today. CIWA supports immigrant and refugee women, girls, and their families. And I know you have dozens of programs that support individuals and families with settlement needs, language and employment training, and so much more. Maybe to kick things off, and in your role as CIWA's Manager of Settlement and Integration, I'm just wondering if you can tell our listeners a little bit more about what settlement and integration means.
That's a very, it's a nice question and a nice segue into this. For me, settlement basically, I don't know if anybody ever truly settles. That's what we always say. Settlement really is you moving from one place and, of course, going into another place and getting the feel of what the place is about and eventually trying to make it your own. So the entire process of settlement just ties into integration. I don't think you can actually have one without the other because they kind of go together. Your settlement journey is what actually informs your integration process at the end. So however you choose to start off that journey and how it goes for you probably would just make it maybe easier for you to fully integrate into the new community or society that you find yourself, or maybe not. And that's why, you know, CIWA comes in, and that's why we do the work that we do. I'm sure across Calgary, you hear about SP or settlement providing organization or settlement providing agencies. That's what we are. That's what we do. We try to make people's journey and process of integration that much smoother. So
that's a fantastic start to our conversation and an explanation. I think, you know, as we talk about settlement and integration, I think sometimes what comes up is basic needs. So I'm just wondering if you can maybe talk more about the different kinds of supports that CIWA either provides or helps people navigate in Calgary.
Yeah, absolutely. I can speak a little bit about CIWA and what we do. So Calgary Immigrant Women's Association has been around for coming on 40 years now. We offer a variety of programs. Actually, right now we have over 57 programs in different areas of settlement. So we call them settlement because it's everything that helps you settle, everything that makes your new home easier for you to adjust to. So our programs range from language and literacy down to employment bridging and family services. We partner with a variety of organizations to make sure that we provide those services. So if you walked into the doors of CIWA, for example, you would receive a welcome, of course, from the reception, who also doubles as the client liaison and intake worker as well. And she would connect you. If there was a language barrier, you would be connected right away to a settlement counselor who speaks the language that you're most comfortable with. I mean, people who walk through those doors speak a whole variety of languages. But the one thing that I always say is the minute you walk through the doors of CIWA, there's a certain vulnerability. You're there because you require something. So when you come in and you meet with a counselor who speaks your language, we believe that there's already that at home feeling that, oh, I'm comfortable. There's somebody who can understand me, just because that language barrier is already removed from the equation. And then there's this holistic needs assessment that is carried out just to be sure that it's not just food, because somebody can come in and say they need food, but maybe it isn't food. Maybe there's an underlying issue why you require that food bank support. If the programs are available at CIWA, you receive that direct referral. If it's not available at CIWA, then we have those multitudes of community partners who would refer you to in order to receive that support. When it comes to basic needs, because poverty is a huge issue, in Calgary, in fact, in the world, poverty is a problem. What we tend to do is ensure that we, find ways to make sure that women are fed, their families are fed. There are a lot of women who come in that are looking for food, they're looking for shelter, they're looking for clothing. And those are all the basic needs that are actually a huge component to what we do in that particular program. We're making sure that those basic needs are addressed. And we address them through referrals. It could be through Women in Need Society, who we've partnered with for years to make sure that the women come in, they receive the referral to WINS, where they get like vouchers in quote, and they take it to WINS. They're able to shop for their household requirements, and there's food bank as well. Actually, after when the pandemic happened, we aggressively were able to reach out to different organizations and looked at different funding opportunities, from Food Rescue to United Way to FCSS through the City of Calgary. So through all these different funding sources, we were able to kind of set up our own food rescue support at CEWA. What we did was provide emergency food hampers for clients with basic needs, namely oil, rice, and they were all very culturally sensitive food, depending on the client's needs. And they could walk into CEWA at any time, talk to a counselor, and we had the package ready for them to take home. For those of them that maybe it was a little bit too heavy because they had large families, we were able to provide transportation support in the shape of taxi vouchers so they could take that with them. One of the programs at CEWA actually to provide cooked food for clients, and we're also very culturally sensitive. So what we did was talk to the settlement counselors. There are 14 of them, including case managers, who we talked to and asked, okay, what are the cultures that these women represent? Like, where are the top five, for example, that they are coming from, and what can we do to provide foods that are appealing so that somebody who has never had mac and cheese before is not being given mac and cheese and can't feed her family. So through that real in-depth analysis, we were able to get like major foods that they would like. So we, through the program, we were able to provide things like biryani, chicken couscous. It was amazing. And with the funding that we received, the frozen food, families came in and they picked them up. We were able to provide over 1,000 meals to families in the last pandemic year for these immigrant families. So basic needs is something that we hold very, very close to our hearts at CEWA. It's a service that we would never stop providing. It's always there. And because it just doesn't end with food, there's also the other aspect of your basic needs, which is also your shelter. So one of the things that we do for women who are fleeing domestic violence situations, which we see quite a lot of, and CEWA is very proactive in the gender-based violence movement and ensuring that women are supported, they are informed, and they know what their rights are. And we are supporting them with counseling and all kinds of support. We would offer any woman who walks in through our doors or phones us to say, I have this issue and I need to leave, 3 nights in a hotel until we can find shelter space. That has been ongoing for years, and we continue to receive ongoing financial support and funds to provide that, and we have been doing that. And we also provide 1 month of rent to families who are at risk of eviction or who are just in plain financial difficulties and not able to pay their rent. We do that also with their dynamic deposits. So client comes to CEWA, or sometimes we get them as community referrals. I can get an email saying, this is what a client is facing, how can you help? And we do help. Sometimes the rent might be so high that you're like, okay, for one person, let us see how we can further support that client. So it could be through another partner agency. In the past, it used to be with Red Cross. And then we've done that recently with the Center for Newcomers as well, where we partner with them and we're able to offer that shelter space for the client in the form of them having that secure home for one, maybe 1 or 2 months until their jobs kick in. And then through that, we just don't stop at making sure that the client has a home or just has, because then what then? If they come to you for 1 month and they say, okay, I need you to pay my rent, what happens after the next month? So I did, what we try to do is to make sure that we look at the underlying issue. Sometimes it may just be a problem with finances for that 1 month. The next month they are fine. And then if we know that it is a spending issue, then they are linked to financial empowerment programs where they have a financial coach who can walk them through proper spending and financial literacy and understanding what you do with your money. Sometimes it's just that the woman never knew she could have a job. Then she's linked with an employment coach or a career counselor who would walk her through building a resume, understanding skills that she has that she can use into securing meaningful employment. So it really, really try to offer that holistic support to the client as best as we can.
Yeah, and when you're talking about basic needs, you know, I guess, does that make it the stronger foundation to move along in the journey? Like if your basic needs are met, then you can move on and think about other things. Is that part of the thinking and
yes,
experience
yes.
of people?
Yes, I think so. I think that's a huge one thing that we always say is that if a woman is constantly thinking of how to feed her family, I don't think she's ever going to think about anything else. It's just food is one basic thing that you need in order to survive. And when that is taken away from you, I don't know how else you can cope. So your settlement journey can never be complete. It can't even start if that aspect is a constant worrisome issue that is ever present in your life. So one of the things that we try to do, as I mentioned, is to make sure that, you know what, this person, I always tell the counselors when we have our meetings, I say to them that you can't, it's not okay to continuously offer somebody food bank referrals month after month after month. There's an underlying issue why they need that food bank referral. Let's fix the underlying issue. Because if that issue is never fixed, that person's settlement journey never begins. And so where's the integration process? It's never going to happen.
Yeah, I think that fits so well. I mean, I know Siwa is a champion of the Enough for All strategy and the different levers of change, you know, and so much of our conversation is about the root causes of poverty, right?
Oh,
and if
yes,
we,
yes.
And if we can't address those root causes, then we're just kind of it's not working. It's not a
it's
system
not.
That's working. Also, though, when you're talking about the gender-based violence and kind of see what active work in that area, what is, I guess, there's a uniqueness to Siwa in the fact that you are an organization that's for, yeah, it's for women and for girls and ergo by then for their families. So I'm just wondering if you can talk more about the importance of having that kind of unique mandate.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's one of the things that I will forever value in the agency is the fact that it has such a unique mandate, because the idea behind it is that the minute you serve a woman, you've served the child, you've served the entire family. I know there's a saying in my place that if you educate a woman, you've educated an entire world, just one girl child. Because most women who come in as immigrants, first of all, we are a gender-specific immigrant serving agency. So at the end of the day, you're serving immigrant women. In turn, you're serving their children and, of course, their husbands or spouses or whoever it is that they have as significant orders. So it's not just that you're working with just the woman, you're working with her entire family. But because if a woman is not settled, the women are typically the bedrock of the homes. If you think about all the immigrant families where people relocate, women find themselves in positions where it's either one where the husbands can't understand the new system where they found themselves in. So it's very difficult to, one, find jobs in the same level as to where they are coming from. So a whole lot of things kind of spill over from there. Sometimes we find that may or may not lead to gender-based violence in the home. Sometimes it's that because generally poverty does have its overarching effects. And one of them is, of course, violence tends to result when there's a lot of strife as a result of no money. So we find that most women are actually looking for ways to help their families. Encouraging one woman, supporting one woman at a time is, at the end of the day, just supporting the entire family and building a better community in itself. So we take that very, very strongly. All our programs are actually customized for women based on different situations that they present with.
Yeah, and I just like the approach of building relationships and tailoring the approaches to the unique needs of those individuals and their families. Going back to a couple of other things that you had said just about the partnerships, the referral system, a quite robust system, obviously. But the partnerships that you have, I know There's a number of organizations. You mentioned WINS, others. I was thinking when you mentioned financial empowerment, Momentum had come to mind that I know you
Yes.
guys refer to. And then, with Justice Services, even Calgary Legal Guidance, kind of popped into my mind for different things. And I'm just wondering if you can talk more about those partnerships and how that maybe works or strengthens more about the work that you do at CEWA.
We do have an extensive list of partners, and I know there are over 90 of them across Calgary, and including outside of Canada now, because sometimes we're working with other partner organizations outside of Calgary to share the work that we do, especially our outcomes measurement framework. I know that's one thing that we absolutely value that we do well is actually deliver outcomes. So we've been able to share that across Calgary, across Canada. But I will speak to the ones that you've asked me about. Momentum for sure has been a huge partner in helping us deliver our financial empowerment suite of programs. Through those programs, I can tell you we have tax clinics where we offer free file, we file taxes year-round for low-income individuals regardless of immigration status. We do the RESP education as well, which is such a huge, I think a huge benefit to any newcomer family, is understanding the registered education savings plan. It is a no-brainer. And the one program that we work directly also with Momentum with is the Immigrant Women's March Savings Circle. Love, love that program. The whole premise of it is that they save towards an asset. Clients learn how that it's possible for you to buy your own home. It is possible. You can learn those things from there. It's possible for you to not carry this heavy burden of a credit card balance every single month, not knowing what to do with it. It is possible for you to actually save towards buying. So just helping them create those saving habits. I know you did ask me about something else apart from Momentum. You had
It
mentioned
was just
another one.
Calgary Legal Guidance. I was just
Yes.
curious about.
So with Calgary Legal Guidance, we're the only agency in Calgary that actually works with CLG to provide legal advice in the areas of family law. Other agencies are with immigration, we do both family and immigration. So what CLG does is I will tell you what it used to be post-pandemic, but right now it's all virtual or through phone calls. But prior to this time, we would run the clinics every first Tuesday and Wednesdays thereafter at CEWA in the evenings with as many lawyers as are able to come into it's a very busy evening typically because clients are there, free legal advice for 30 minutes up to 45 minutes with a lawyer, where they talk to you about whatever issue it is that you're bringing on for them. Sometimes it's a mom who's come by herself, filed for her children for God knows how many years, and has not received any feedback yet from IRCC, or it's somebody who needs an application to be looked over. She wants to do a sponsorship, doesn't even know the first place to even begin to do it. And to have that support of a lawyer to say, okay, I've read through your documents, and yes, go ahead and put it in, or this is what I need you to do. It's of invaluable in kind to see what, honestly, because the clients really, really benefit from these opportunities. And sometimes the lawyers will take some of the clients on pro bono. If they find that it's a case that is really, really maybe too tricky for the client to manage on their own, and they're definitely going to need to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to a lawyer, sometimes they will take the clients on pro bono and they will walk them through the entire process until they actually get to the last stage of whatever issue it is that they have. So it has been very productive. Divorce and settlement, of course, we all know how it can be very difficult for women, especially those who are sponsored by their husbands, and then they come to Canada and the marriages break down. Some of them are not even aware of their rights. What can I get as a spouse? What can my children get? They're just left with nothing. So the clinic is able to offer that advice. And the Calgary Legal Guardians, sometimes we have lawyers who come in and they give advice on divorce and the proceedings and spousal sponsorship and custody issues and things like that. So the moms are more aware. The idea behind CEWA is not to break people's homes, definitely not, but to just offer that support to the mom who needs it. To say, hey, you need somebody to talk to you about it, we're here, we can offer that support.
Yeah, I think in everything you're saying, I just think,
in this time in the world, it feels like where everything's really disconnected. So it's really, I think, wonderful to hear that there's, kind of this incredible network of people and
Yes.
organizations that are working together to just support people that need support for whatever reason
Indeed.
and in whatever way they need that support. I think that's just so fantastic to hear,
Welcome.
particularly in this time. I guess to get away from more maybe the more detailed stuff, and in general, when you're thinking about people settling in Calgary, like what pops up for you in terms of what you would see as the biggest opportunities for them, and then maybe some of the barriers or challenges that you're seeing for people that are settling in Calgary right now?
I think when people come into Calgary, one of the biggest things that can help you or not help you could be word of mouth information. I always say that everybody who comes in as a newcomer should find a CWA, find an organization that can actually walk you through the resources that are available for you, because that could either make your settlement and integration process that much easier, or it could make it that much difficult. I remember when I would interact with people when I first started working, and you would have clients who the only thing that, I mean, they're highly educated, let's take that for an example, but because they are brand new to Canada, the first thing they think about is, oh, I have to work a low-paying job in order to get some type of Canadian experience in order to get another job eventually. So that mindset, I think, has to be squashed. When somebody is underemployed, it's better if it's a choice to be underemployed than for it to not be a choice for you to be underemployed. You can choose to be underemployed because, hey, you might have all these degrees, but you personally choose a job that maybe only 20 hours a week you want to be home for your family or whatever it is that you choose to do, but not that is your choice. But when it is a choice that is taken away from you by misinformation, I think it is absolutely, it does hinder your settlement process. But one of the things that we see at the agency, of course, is language. Language is a huge barrier for people. When people come in and they're not able to, I always equate it to me going to a new country, for example, and I don't speak the language. I might speak fluent English, but if I were to move to France, for example, and I'm in some small town in France where everybody only speaks French and I don't speak French, I'm automatically vulnerable.
Yeah, and do you see like Calgary improving in that area? Like, I know I've seen slight maybe shifts in providing some translated documents for certain languages, but do you see improvement, or are you hoping for more?
I'm rooting for more. We'll always root for more. At CEWA, we offer services in over 55 languages. That's how much we root for this total removal of that language as a barrier to accessing services or resources that in CEWA or in your community. We offer interpretation and translation support through our labor market bridging programs at CEWA. I just wish people would take more advantage of that. Most of our resources are always translated in multiple languages. We take the top languages at CEWA and then whatever programs or services that we have in written form, they are always translated for clients to be aware of.
Yeah, well, and I guess bridges the gap to that first
The
challenge of
gap is there.
misinformation, right? And then
Oh.
because then you're able to have the information you need and understand it.
Understanding is key. I always say that ignorance is one of the ignorance comes at a cost that I can't even begin to imagine. Rather than telling somebody something that you're not fully sure about, there are so many things available. Go to a website, look for CEWA, look for CEWA. There are so many organizations out there that can help you. And of course, we still continue to aggressively push outreach just so that we can help these women realize that there's help and there are supports that are available.
Yeah. I guess I want to jump into then a little bit more maybe futures thinking moment.
Yes.
I've recently been reading a book called Move, The Forces Uprooting Us by an author, Parag Khanna,
Oh.
and he discusses human geography and the mobility of people around the world. And so it's just got me thinking about, the different possibilities for the future and maybe you know, different things that our future may hold. And so I was thinking, if you're thinking about settlement and integration services and programs, say 10 years from now, do you think Calgary and Canada are going to need to expand services for settlement of immigrants and refugees? And if so, what do you think we need to start thinking about now?
10 years from now, for sure, there definitely will be expansion of services, because I think Canada has a huge, I don't know if it's to call it a mandate or a huge focus on immigration. I don't think that's going to change in 10 years' time. Immigration is, and there's so many different paths to immigration in Canada, which I think is very, very commendable, from permanent residency to provision of mini programs to coming as a student and then going through a provisional mini program, or coming as a temporary foreign worker and going through it. It may tweak and change as it goes, as we continue to go year by year, but the principal, or rather the overarching theme, still remains the same, that they're very proactively into immigration. I mean, that's how I came to be here. So that path is never going to change. The one thing that I will say is, and I think should actually be something that should be more, I know it's now been spoken about more than ever before, and there's a strong push for it, is the credential recognition. A lot of people who come in with all these fancy degrees and things are not able to work in the fields that they thought they were coming in to work at. I can't begin to tell you how many, you know, very despairing stories I've had to listen to in the course of my work, where people move in from different parts of the world and they have this amazing dream of what Canada is going to be like. And then you come in and it's not exactly what you expect it to be. I know that there's a lot of changes. I know that there's movement. It might be a very slight one, but there is movement. We just need to have that more. I have had staff who are medical doctors who have been trying to get their exams going for the longest time. There are doctors who have actually relocated back to the UK because it just takes so much more to get their credentials done here in Canada. So those sorts of things, I think, are what we should be focused on, because if you bring in people who are not exactly working how they should, or in working in the fields that they thought they should be working in, or it just crushes your dream. And I don't think that is exactly the, I don't think that exactly makes for the best integration process, because I had a project that I worked on where we were looking at immigrant women and their life after retirement. It was a social humanities research project through SHRC. And the findings from that project were very interesting. We had women who had worked in Canada, because this is post-retirement now, but they came to Canada with all kinds of, you know, fancy degrees and everything else. But there were people who never really worked or even spoke English. So let's even go to that, because they only worked in areas where it was low-income jobs, it was with the same ethnic community, so they only ever spoke that language. So you're looking at their lives after retirement, language is still a barrier. Financial literacy remains a barrier. So many barriers are in place, and I'm thinking, wow. But the good thing about it is, if the government wasn't interested in hearing about people's lives like that, they wouldn't fund programs like that for it to inform research, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. That's a change. That means that the thinking is in the right direction. And that's what I believe, that it is in the right direction.
Mm. And so do you see, I guess, room for new public policy and things in this regard to support those things?
Absolutely. I think the policies that are in place right now are good, but it could be better. There's always room to improve policy, in my opinion. I've never really delved in enough to find out why there are so many hoops to jump through for credential evaluation or credential recognition for you to be admitted into maybe a secondary place of schooling, for example. But the one thing that I do know is, over time, for example, they've shifted from everybody has to take IELTS. Doesn't matter where you're coming from, to now, okay, if you can prove that your language of instruction was in English, then you don't have to pay and go through all these, you know, exams and everything else. So whatever processes are in place that is, you know, because sometimes the policies that are in place kind of impede your progress, so to speak. It does impede the settlement process. So those things definitely have to be revisited, just so that, because if you have an immigration mindset and you're bringing people into the country and the idea is that they are contributing individuals, that means they have to be settled. Somebody has to be settled in order for them to contribute meaningfully into your financial environment or your community or sort of whatever we choose to call it. So there has to be that. And there's so many intersecting factors, you know, that play into all of this. It could be from you coming in. And some people come in, they don't have any language barriers. They're easily able to search online, find a job. I know people who actually find jobs before they make it into Canada. So that's a huge change. It didn't used to be like that before. So there is a huge shift. But it is only for people who actually know how to access the resources. It's for people who do not have all those pending barriers in place. So what about everybody else? Because that's where equity comes into play. We have to give everybody an even playing field. If not, you're not giving everybody the tools for success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I love from your perspective, you know, that you're seeing some shifts, but there's, you know, clearly always room for improvement and progression in these things as well. So, you know, I love chatting with you today. What we do kind of to close out our Let's Talk Poverty is just do a few fun questions. So they're just three questions. So if they're kind of rapid fire, so I hope you're all right with that.
Okay.
And first one, favorite restaurant in Calgary?
Mercato. 85th, I think it's on 85th Street. No, it's not on 85th. Mercato is on, 85th Street.
Awesome.
I like it.
Love it. So good. So good. Favorite space in Calgary? If you could go somewhere, where would it be?
My favorite spa.
Ooh, yes.
I don't want to promote their business, so now I'm called the name, but it's my spa.
just a timeout, a relaxing moment.
Yes, a relaxing time, just by myself.
I'm with you on that entirely. And last one, what, if anything, are you reading?
What am I reading right now? Right now, I'm reading The Case of Impeachment, and it's by Alan Lichtman. So I just started it. I'm only on the page 11.
Hey, you know what? It's a start. You know, I think, if anything, some of us can only handle reading Twitter posts. 140 characters is some people's limits right now, I think.
I love Twitter, though. I think it's very entertaining.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you so much, Ashley. Really nice to have been here. And I'm glad I was able to get some of my points across and to showcase the amazing work that we do at CWAS.
Learn more and connect with the Calgary Immigrant Women's Association. Follow them at CIWA YYC. That's CIWAYYC. Thanks for listening to Let's Talk Poverty. Subscribe, check out more episodes on enoughforall.ca, and follow us on social at Vibrant Calgary. Thanks for listening.